Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
You know what our listeners will recognize today for the first time?
What's that?
You're back. You're back. Jim's back. We had a whole bunch of all of July, Faith in Action. They thought that you were gone for the whole month
because I was really gone for
one day. Two
days, but one of them was critical. That was the day they recorded all of those.
Every show, all of July, for pity's sake. And everyone's like, where the heck is Jim? Is he gone?
So I'm back, even though I hardly left.
Well, welcome back, Jim.
Thank you.
Welcome
back.
I hope it was a wonderful vacation.
It was a very short and wonderful. It really was. We had a great time with family up at a lake whose name I can't remember in Michigan.
Oh, my.
And it was cold the whole time. This was a couple of weeks ago when everybody got that kind of cold snap.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We didn't do a whole lot of things in the lake, but played a lot of family games, had a lot of fun. And
no, that's always fun.
It was great.
That's a Euchre. Bring the Euchre cards out and bring the games
there
out.
There you go.
Yeah.
You
know what's coming up real soon? Like literally we're weeks away. We're less than 8 weeks away. We're like at the 6 week mark. You know what it is, don't you?
Our dinner?
Dinner.
No, we moved that way into the fall.
I know, right? You say the fall, and yet look at it. Kids are with year-round school. I mean, kids only have a couple weeks off.
That's
now,
true.
And they're jumping right. I see school supplies. Welcome back to school supplies everywhere,
yeah.
For pity's sake.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's right around the corner.
So our dinner is coming up, and that means soon you will be getting, not for a while yet, but soon you'll be getting an invitation in the mail. You'll be hearing about it here on Catholic Radio. And one of the big events at our dinner each year is the auction. We actually have two auctions. We have a silent auction and we have a live auction. And right now we're looking for items for both of those. If you have something a unique item that has some value to it that would make a good gift for our silent auction, call us and we'll, you know, make arrangements to get that picked up and get it in for our auction. And if you have something larger that we could use for the live auction, and that could be anything. Vacation packages are always neat and raise a lot of funds for Catholic Radio, but it wouldn't have to be that. It could be a painting, could be tickets to a hard to get event,
a piece of jewelry,
could be or a puppy. I was gonna say a puppy.
Okay. You know what, that would probably be huge. That would be huge. I imagine, you know, that no one's ever suggested that. But
I've seen auctioneers at charity auctions get, you know, hundreds or maybe thousands of dollars for a puppy
because
it keeps picking it up and moving it from one lap to the other.
Oh, see, that'd be huge. I'd think that would be a huge get. I never thought about that, but that'd be great. You know, it was really big last year. And we have two priests so far,
right,
that have offered dinners for next time. And that's, it's really... What?
We started kind of a controversy last
we
year.
Did.
Because
we did.
We had one priest and we thought, this would be great. You know, Father will come to your house and cook, or you can come to Father's house and he'll cook and it'll be great. And that would really went well. Until the evening was over and another priest cornered us and who said, you know, I'm a much better cook than he is.
He did. He said, you have me next year and put me in the auction. Let's see who gets more money. So we already have two priests that are offering their to cook dinner in the rectory, which is really delightful. It really doesn't matter what they serve, cheeseburgers on the grill or whatever it is.
That's right.
It's just kind of fun to spend an evening with your parish priest. So
if you've got something that we could use for our auction, give us a call, 317-870-8400, 317-870-8400, or you can visit our website and leave us a note there as well, or drop either Jim or MJ an email, MJ@CatholicRadioIndy.org, Jim@CatholicRadioIndy.org. patty@catholicradioindy.org.
There you go. We're here.
Any one of us.
We answered any one of those. Our guest on Faith in Action, let's just jump right in. We actually have had as a guest several times before, Jennifer Trapezzano. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
You know, Jennifer, since I had you as a guest the very first time, I became Facebook friends with you, and you are busy. You know, God has really used you, you know, in what a terrible twist of fate, how this all happened. But he has really used you to his best advantage, you know, incredible lemonade circumstances, and the way you have been able to use the tragedy that has changed your life forever into helping other people with their brokenness. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you never would have thought of this 5 or 6 years ago.
Definitely not.
In fact, you kind of seem to me to be the sweet kind of, you know, kind retiring. I don't know if Nathan was the outgoing, colorful one, but it seems to me like you would have happily been, you know, the quiet, you know, to his outgoing. Was he more the outgoing?
No, actually, it was the opposite.
You were the outgoing yes, one to his was. Quiet? Really?
Yeah, I know he was very introverted, and I was more the social butterfly outgoing. But I think just through everything that happened, you know, I've also found the value of being home and being, you know, with Cecilia, not being as outgoing and social as I used to be.
Okay, so he was the quiet, introspective guy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and listeners, and let's just give a thumbnail, because we have people tuning in all the time who sometimes first-time listeners or first-time tuning in, sometimes not Catholic. So we garner new listeners all the time, and although here at Catholic Radio, we know your story well, there may be some people who don't know your story. So just if you want to take a couple minutes and just kind of fill us in on the...
Yeah. So when I was 24, I married my college sweetheart. His name was Nathan Trapezzano. And about 2 years later, we were engaged and married on May 11th, 2013. And it was a wonderful, you know, happy time, and it was short-lived. 3 months into the marriage, we found out we were pregnant and expecting our first baby, and she would turn out to be our only baby, because on April 1st, 2014, just 3 weeks before she was born, he was shot and killed. He was murdered just on a morning walking in the neighborhood. And so that was April 1st. April 25th, Cecilia Marie came into our lives, and it has been a long journey since then.
A long, long journey. You know, I was on a plane recently, and someone left a newspaper or a magazine in the seat. And I picked it up, and I started reading this story, and it was your story. And it was very interesting, because it wasn't an Indianapolis paper.
Okay.
It was from another city, and I thought, as I started to read through the story, I thought, oh, how interesting. This sounds so much like, and then it was you. But it was highlighting many different stories. It was actually about the video that...
Oh, The Face of Mercy.
The Face of Mercy. And they were talking about the video, The Face of Mercy. And so it didn't start... You were in the story, but it wasn't just about you. And that's why I started reading it. I thought, oh, wow. Oh, Jennifer. So, we think that just Indianapolis has been touched by this. But actually, this has now spread. Your story is quite far-reaching. Many people know about your story now.
It is. I was actually just in Michigan this past weekend and went to church and was approached by a lady afterwards. She recognized me. And, you know, it was a small town, and she was like, are you Jennifer? Like, oh, I recognize Cecilia. And I was just taken aback. I was like,
my
hi.
Goodness. Yeah.
I'm not used to this. It should be, I suppose. But
well, we're going to talk about a little bit, and we probably won't get to it till the second half. But there is a retreat coming up.
Right.
As I was telling someone the other day, I didn't call it a retreat. I called it a mourning. MOURNING, a morning of reflection.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, well, that's kind of catchy. But actually, there is a retreat coming up in September. And if you'll give the date, we'll talk more about it in the second half. But tell us a little bit about that.
Right. It is a Catholic Widows Retreat. And the dates are September 22nd to 24th. And this is the first time, I guess, I'm putting it on. I know there's been similar retreats in the past, but nothing existing right now. So I approached the Archdiocese for some help to get this going, because fellowship and faith has been so important in my journey, and I just wanted to share that with others and hopefully help some widows along their own journey.
And this is going to be open to people that are newly widowed, 10 years, 5 years. What? Who is your target audience?
Right. I really don't have a target other than being a widow. That's the ultimate criteria. You know, any age, any length of time, if they have kids or no kids. You know, I think that just being a widow itself is such a strong bond. There are things that only widows can understand. And, sure. and I've seen that. You know, I can relate to a 70-year-old widow better than some of my friends can relate to me. Even though I'm the same age as my friends, they haven't been through what I've been through. Right. And so it's pretty much open to anyone who wants to attend and wants to grow in faith and fellowship through this journey.
It's kind of like a small club that you never wanted to be a part of, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Recently, my sister lost her husband. Mm. And my sister-in-law, who was married to my brother for 25 years, he died. Uh-huh. And she said to me, you know, please put her next to me at the wedding because we can talk about things that only the two of us will understand.
Right.
And I thought it hit me really strongly for the first time. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've known each other all their lives, but she said they have a bond to right. share that not many other people will
ever understand.
Mm-hmm. If you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Jennifer Trapezzano, and many of you listeners will know that name and recognize it from the tragedy that happened just a few years ago. Nathan, of course, was killed on the streets of Indianapolis during a morning walk. Mm-hmm. Something that simple, something he did on a regular basis, you know. And I think it was so tragic because it was just such an innocent walk, and you were at home, 9 months pregnant, you know, right. waiting for him to return from his walk. Mm-hmm. I do want to talk about, I think your story became so much more poignant during the Year of Mercy mm-hmm. when you started talking more and more about forgiveness and mm-hmm. mercy. And for many of us hearing your story, Jennifer, many of us could have heard the story and thought you were well within your rights and well within reason mm-hmm. and understanding to hold back and withhold forgiveness for a period of time, if not years and mm-hmm. years and years, because of the terrible, tragic circumstance that you were placed in the middle of at such a tragically young age. And yet, pretty quickly, Jennifer, mm-hmm. pretty quickly, you reached out and were pretty open about the way that you felt. I do want to talk about that, but we need to take a break, okay. and we'll be right back.
Catholic Radio Indy.
There's lives being touched every single day by it.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Think of all the media our young people are exposed to today. MTV, movies, what passes for entertainment on TV, song lyrics that are questionable or worse. Where do they hear the message that it's okay to be chaste and modest, or that it's not crazy to practice their faith, or to believe in a God who loves them and can forgive them no matter what they do? Catholic Radio is the answer. Be sure to tell your friends and relatives about Catholic Radio Indy.
Before the sun rises, and long after it sets, while you're waiting in traffic or winding down from your day, when you need us, we're here. Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Jennifer Trapezzano. We're here talking about several things. A little bit later, we're going to talk about a retreat for widows that's coming up in September 22nd through the 24th. And registration has already started, right?
It has, yes.
It has, okay. Mm-hmm. And is this a day long or weekend, or what are we looking at?
It's a weekend long. It'll start on a Friday evening and go until Sunday afternoon. We'll have mass and then lunch, and then people can go their separate ways. So we hope that people will attend the whole weekend and be able to stay overnight with us.
Okay.
And looking forward to meeting all those who come.
This is really wonderful, because I think that even at our church at St. Simon's just a couple years ago, someone had lost a son, and they mm-hmm. called the parish office and said, okay, where's a grief ministry? Do you have a grief ministry? And you know what, as simple as that is, and you think that every church should have one, and yet, Jennifer, surprisingly enough, there aren't a lot of grief ministries out there that will help people through the grieving process of losing someone. Were you aware of that?
Yeah, I agree with that statement. I think certain churches do have some, and certainly there has to be a need, and grief, people have circumstances happen spread out, so it's hard to keep a constant ministry. I understand that, but I also... You know, as I was in the middle of losing Nate, I wasn't in the capacity to reach out to others, and there wasn't a lot of ministry being able to reach out to me, and that's kind of a void that I want to try to help fill.
Sure. Okay, so let's go back. In the first half, we talked a little mm-hmm. bit about, really, I think, an unusual capacity that you had pretty quickly
yeah.
to understand the situation you were in and reach the point of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read your story. I've talked to you. Mm-hmm. I've seen it in a video. And something keeps coming to me. And I don't know if you've mentioned this or if you've thought about this, but I have thought so many times that I think a part of your capability of forgiveness has actually come from Nathan himself. Have you ever thought about that?
Oh, I have. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about that, because here I'm getting weepy just thinking about it, because it's, you know, so many of us can relate to being young and in love, and so many firsts right. in your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so much promise, and it's like the big, you know, horizon out there of the future that
right.
you're going to, you know, embark on together, and there's no end date, because mm-hmm. it's, you know, you're going to do it together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So tell us a little bit about that.
You know, when he died, I still very much felt him a part of my life. And ultimately, every step that I started taking thereafter was I wanted to see him again one day. I did not want to do anything that could separate me further from him. And that ultimately came down to, okay, I want to be the best Christian that I can be. And what does that look like? And so I started looking back to his example, because he was, you know, in my opinion, such a godly man. And he was always so quick to forgive and didn't hold hard feelings against anyone. And not that I did either, but I had never been through this before. And so I just, you know, really kept coming back to, like, what would he do? Kind of like, what would Nate do? That went through my mind so many times. And then just that thought of what have the saints and those who have made it to heaven along with him done before us, and looking at their examples. I mean, forgiveness runs rampant through the saints' histories, and obviously Jesus Christ was our greatest example to get to heaven, and you know, he was our greatest example of forgiveness. And so there wasn't a lot of question, you know, can I do this or not, because so many people had done it before me, you know, and I knew he would have been able to. And so it was just more of a, okay, how? You know, what steps do I need to take? How what does this even look like? So many people have told me they never could have done what I've done, but had I not been put into that situation, I don't know if I could have either.
Sure.
And it was more just putting kind of one foot, one prayer in front of the other, and going from there.
So have you had the opportunity to talk with the perpetrator or see him, or?
One time at his conviction hearing. So he was pleading guilty, and I had the opportunity to give a victim impact statement. And, you know, as I was writing that, I thought, I can tell all the ways that he has impacted my life and Cecilia's. And like you said, our horizons were open. I had so much promise, and everything was taken away in, you know, one blink of the eye. And, you know, and I did share some of that, but then ultimately I was thinking, if this is the only time I can ever talk to him, like, what do I most want to say to him in my lifetime? And what do I think, you know, he needs to hear? And that was forgiveness. And I really prayed hard, and it took months. You know, this date kept getting pushed back, so there's a lot of time leading up to it. It wasn't just like it came quick.
Right.
There was a good year of times where it got pushed back. And I just really prayed and meditated, and especially in the words of our Father, forgive those who trespass against us. And so I extended a forgiveness to him. And in my mind, there was no It wasn't an extension by if he accepted or not. I was going to extend that no matter what. And he didn't accept it. And I really wasn't expecting him to. It was still hard. You know, at the very end, the judge asked him if he had any remorse and any, you know, understanding of what he had done. And he said, no, ma'am. And that was all he said. And then they took him off. And that was the last time I've seen him in person. And hopefully the only time I see him in person. I mean, I extend the forgiveness, but there's still a fear there. There's still, you know, I want to protect myself and Cecilia. I'm not ready to be best friends with him by any means. But I do pray for him at every consecration of the Mass. And Cecilia and I pray for his soul. And I asked Nate to pray for his soul. And I hope that he finds God and he finds, you know, Christ's love and mercy. And if that time comes, then I'd be ready to meet him.
You know, I didn't know that piece of the part of the story. I hadn't heard that. I knew that you had extended forgiveness to him and that you were at peace with that,
right,
with that part. Because, and there's, you know, there's two parts to it, but you did the most important thing, right, offering it. But I didn't know that he had not accepted full responsibility. And in doing that, also accepted what you were offering. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yep. No, at this point, it hasn't been accepted, but we keep praying.
Yeah. If you're just now tuning in, listeners, Jennifer Trapezzano has an incredibly powerful story to tell. And through all of the events of the last 3 or 4 years, your world probably and your life has been taken on such a zigzag, right, you know, where before it was straight out in front of mm-hmm. you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it has taken so many twists and turns. But I have seen so many interesting things. You're involved with so many. Nathan's Walk, for instance.
Right.
This widow's retreat. Mm-hmm. You started a group on Facebook,
right,
you know. There's so many. I look at you and I think so many. And you've given talks, mm-hmm. you know. So many opportunities have come your way. And you have been open to the possibilities. And using this, right, to his best advantage. And I think that there's still more. I think there's still more that's going to come. Right. But tell us a little bit about this widow's retreat. So what's it going to look like? And if someone's listening, I know that you said it's open to anyone.
Right. Any widow.
Mm-hmm. Any widow.
Yeah.
And any age, whether, you know, it's been a year or 50 years. But so what will the weekend look like? Will it be dotted with talks? Will there be time for a spiritual reflection? Will there be a priest? Will there be Mass? I mean, what kinds of things will people expect?
Right. So I really wanted to capitalize on faith and fellowship and to bring those two together. So we'll have a lot of time for the fellowship. I didn't want it to be filled with talks because I think sometimes that's just draining, and especially when you're at an emotionally draining retreat already. Obviously, I hope that there'll be joy, but, you know, because of the circumstances, there's going to be tears with the laughter. And I really just wanted to help women have that bond that I found with other widows, and that helped me in my journey. So we'll start, you know, Friday evening off with just some icebreakers and just, you know, sharing. I'm hoping the widows are able to bring a picture of their spouse that they lost so we can kind of set up a table with candles and have them be a part of it. And then Saturday we'll partake in something called sacred sharing, where each widow will then get the chance to really share, you know, 5 to 8 minutes, depending on how many people register, their story. And I think that's important to be heard and to share it amongst each other and among people who get it. You know, nothing any of us will say will go, like, we'll all understand it.
Now, is this going to be an overnight retreat?
It will, yes. Okay. So we'll stay the night Friday night. It's at Benedict Inn in Beech Grove. And, you know, then Saturday evening we'll have some meditation with Father Jim Farrell and adoration and confession, and then hopefully we'll have some kind of social evening.
You know, it's kind of interesting, Jennifer, and if you're just now tuning in, Jennifer Trapezzano is our guest today on Faith in Action. My sister-in-law was married to my brother for 26 years. They had 11 mm-hmm. children, and he died of a lung disease that's not normally, doesn't normally kill you,
uh-huh.
Sarcoidosis. It can be mm-hmm. dangerous, but it doesn't usually kill
right.
you, right? And he had probably been dead 20 or 25 years. And she said, I'd really like to come over and have tea with you and talk.
Mm-hmm.
And she came over and she said, I really would like to talk about Frank. I'd really like to talk about him with someone who knew him and loved him. And I thought, this is 20 years after
right.
he died, right?
Mm-hmm.
But her children had long heard the stories and were not at a place that they wanted to hear stories about their dad.
Right.
She wanted someone else that she could tell her stories to and loved him, and she could kind of download. And I thought, how interesting, because you think after 5, 10, mm-hmm. 15 years that you've moved on, or you're past that, or you've cubbyholed that in your brain.
Right.
But that's not the case.
Mm-mm.
So I think that you offering a widow's retreat for people who are, you know, they may not all be young women that are coming
right.
to this.
You
may have stories that are long old, but that still need to be told.
Right. And that's why I really wanted that to be a big part of our day. So, you know, rather than them sit and talk or listen to talks, they get to sit and share their stories.
Now, how do people sign up to go to the retreat?
Through the Archdiocese website.
Archindy.org. And they can hunt for it there or search for it there?
Yes, yeah. There should be a link that's active now.
Okay.
But we also have an email. It's peaceinthemorning@gmail.com.
Peace in the morning.
Yes, peace in the morning, but MOURNING, which is what the retreat will be called. I sat in adoration for about an hour, and I just kept coming back to that. And it's just like, you know, peace is what I'm seeking, and I think that's what we're all seeking.
peaceinthemorning@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. All right.
You know, Jennifer, it's a perfect name for the retreat, mm-hmm. because I keep expecting, I think it would be natural in interviewing you for you to come to a point that you are brought to tears and can't talk anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would seem natural for that to happen. And yet every time I've spoken to you, you have this calm about you, and this, I'm the one who's tearing up over here, but you do have this peace about you, and mm-hmm. and I do, you know, I do think that Nathan is still very alive and very much around you and in your life, and I feel that, and I know that confidently, because, you know, the people who have passed on are, you know, they're not dead in the ground.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They are in amongst us, you know, mm-hmm. just in another dimension that we don't recognize and we can't see for our human frailty, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they're right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the nudgings that we get from them and the inspirations, they're right there. So you are incredible grace under all of the tragedy that you have endured. And
we've got time to squeeze in just the contact information one more time for somebody who says, I need that. I want to go to it. How do
right.
they do it?
You can email peaceinthemorning@gmail.com, and we can send you the link directly. So that way, you know, you have to do the search through the Archdiocese website.
So that's PEACE, Peace in the Morning, as in MOURNING, peaceinthemorning.com.
Mm-hmm. @gmail.com.
@gmail.com. God bless you, Jennifer. Thank you so much for being our guest
today.
You're
welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the programming tab and select podcasts.